Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Says the Lord, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of bondage.
You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal.
Powerful God, our Maker and our Redeemer. We poor sinners confess to you that we are sinful and unclean by nature, and also that we have sinned against you in our thoughts, our words, and our actions. And so we flee to find refuge in your limitless mercy, looking and pleading for your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Most merciful God, who gave your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake, forgive us all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us real knowledge of you, and of your will, and real obedience to your word, so that by your grace, we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Salvation belongs to the Lord.
Your blessing be on your people.
But you, O Lord, are a shield about me,
my glory and the lifter of my head.
I cried aloud to the Lord,
and he answered me from his holy hill.
I lay down and slept.
I awoke again, for the Lord sustained me.
I will not be afraid of many thousands of people
who have set themselves against me all around. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Salvation belongs to the Lord.
Your blessing be on your people. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Lent is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad.
When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion,
we were like those who dream.
Then our mouth was filled with laughter,
and our tongue with shouts of joy.
Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them.
The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad.
Restore our fortunes, O Lord.
Like streams of Meribah.
Those who sow in tears
shall reap with shouts of joy.
He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing,
shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, the third chapter. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The stone that the builders rejected
has become the cornerstone.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter. Jesus began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant. But they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let's kill him, so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them. But they feared the people. So they watched him and sent spies, who pretended to be sincere, that they might catch him in something he said, so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." This is our text. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him, which means that either way, you're dead. Either you fall on Jesus with a broken and contrite heart in repentance, or you get crushed by the judgment that falls on those who rely on themselves and reject him. But either way it works, you're going to be broken when you meet Jesus. Jesus told this parable against the unbelief of Israel. It went like this. A man planted a vineyard, and he let it out to tenant farmers. Now, these farmers were supposed to tend the vineyard and give a share of the crop back to the owner. So the owner sent a servant to collect the crop, and that servant was beaten and sent away empty-handed. Then he sent another, and that servant was mocked and scorned and sent away empty-handed. He sent a third servant, and they wounded him and cast him out. And then he sent his son, his beloved son, and that turned out even worse. The tenant farmers took one look at the son as he was coming and said, "Here's the heir, let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." And so they did. They threw him out of the vineyard, and they killed him. Now this seems like a bit of a strange parable. Think for a moment about those tenants. What sort of tenants are they? They're living on rented property, working in a rented vineyard, and they're living by the good graces of the owner, who asks nothing more than a reasonable share of the harvest. Is that any way to treat the owner's servants? To beat them and mock them? Is that any way to treat the man's son, his beloved son, to drag him out of the vineyard and murder him? Is that any way to get the inheritance? It seems kind of absurd, actually, when you look at it. A little bit over the top. Not like so many of Jesus' other parables, this one seems almost unbelievable. How could anyone, in their right mind, act this way? How could those tenants think that they would be able to get away with this? And yet this is precisely how God's people Israel behaved. What Jesus said at one point that it wasn't fitting for a prophet to die outside Jerusalem. When he said that, he had in mind all the prophets God had sent to Israel. All the prophets who had been despised, rejected, scorned, abused, and killed. Hebrews chapter 11 describes this in more detail. The author of Hebrews says that they suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with a sword. They went about in the skin of goats and sheep, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. God sent his prophets, and they were rejected. The people didn't want to listen to God's word. According to some stories, Jeremiah was stoned to death, Isaiah was sawn in two, and Amos was tortured. And the list goes on. And all of this at the hands of their own people. How are we to understand this? Well, we understand it by knowing this about God's word, that God's word is always rejectable and a rejected word. In John's gospel, it says this about Jesus. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Now, to reject a prophet was to reject Christ, because the prophets were speaking of Christ, and their lives were types of Christ. So the prophets bore the death of Jesus in their own bodies. Their rejection was not a rejection of themselves, but of Christ. The scorn they experienced was not their own scorn, but it was Christ's scorn. And their death was not because of who they were, but because of who they represented. Christ was the target. The devil, the world, and our sinful flesh all want the Son dead. And like the Son in the parable, Jesus Christ, the beloved Son, goes out from the Father to the vineyard God planted. He goes out from the Father to Israel. And what happens? He's cast out. He's crucified by the very tenants whom God himself had placed there. This calls to mind a part of the liturgy that we'll hear on Good Friday at our noon service. It's called the Reproaches. A number of scripture passages and some liturgical verses in which God laments over his vineyard, his Israel. I'm going to read them for you. And you'll hear in these words the anguish of God the Father, who sent his Son to look for faith, only to be rejected. Thus says the Lord, "What have I done to you, O my people, and wherein have I offended you? Answer me. For I have raised you up out of the prison house of sin and death, and you have delivered up your Redeemer to be scourged. For I have redeemed you from the house of bondage, and you have nailed your Savior to the cross. O my people, thus says the Lord, what have I done to you, O my people? And wherein have I offended you? Answer me. For I have conquered all your foes, and you have given me over and delivered me to those who persecute me. For I have fed you with my water and refreshed you with living water, and you have given me gall and vinegar to drink. Thus says the Lord, what have I done to you, O my people? And wherein have I offended you? Answer me. What more could I have done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? My people, is this how you thank your God, O my people?" To which we can only say, "Holy Lord God, holy and mighty God, holy and most merciful Redeemer, God eternal, keep us steadfast in the true faith. O Lord, have mercy." Now, sometimes when people hear those reproaches, they hear them as an indictment of the Jewish people, of the Jewish leaders who had Jesus crucified and nailed to the cross. But that misses the point. Yes, those words are directed to Israel, but those words are also addressed to the church. When we hear them, we should hear them being spoken to us. They're directed to you and me. Because our sin put Jesus on the cross just as much as Israel's rejection of him. In fact, Israel's rejection of Christ becomes part of our salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Our salvation is built on him. God takes the very worst the world can do. He takes the crucifixion of his beloved Son, and he turns it for good. He saves the world through that Son. But we don't really get those Good Friday reproaches or this parable of the wicked tenants who beat the servants and killed the Son unless we see ourselves as those tenants. But how have we done that? How do we reject God's Son? We do that in all the ways that we reject and take for granted Christ and his Word. When we fail to hear the word and to learn the word and to inwardly digest it and take it to heart, we are doing exactly what those wicked tenants did. When we treat worship and the sacrament of Christ's body and blood with indifference, as if we can live without them, we are doing exactly what the wicked tenants did. when day after day we allow the inspired and inerrant scriptures to sit on our shelves and collect dust because we have better things to do than to listen to God or pay attention to his Son, we are doing exactly what the wicked tenants did. We despise the word and we heap stones on the prophets when we attempt to justify ourselves before God. When we try to take away our own guilt, when we seek to atone for our own sins, we're doing the very same thing. And we despise the word and crucify Christ all over again when we think that our own works add something to what Jesus has done, when we think that we can in some way merit his grace, as if what Jesus did wasn't enough. Now the parable ends with the owner destroying the tenants and giving the vineyard to others. Jesus is talking about the mystery of his kingdom. He's talking about how the stewardship of God's word and the stewardship of grace had been given to God's people Israel, but soon would be given to another steward, to the church made up of baptized Jews and Gentiles. Your baptism makes you a part of this new vineyard. You are the new tenants to whom God has given his word and his grace, not because of anything you've done, but because you are baptized into Christ and because his grace has been poured out upon you through his word. You are heirs, not by your own doing, but by the death of God's beloved Son. And that's the twist of this parable. The death of the Son, the very thing that ought not to happen, is the thing that brings life to the world. The death of the Son grants the inheritance. The death of the Son is our forgiveness, our life, our salvation, and our justification. And there's no neutrality with Jesus. There's no comfortable middle position. You can't sort of straddle the line and kind of be a Christian and kind of not. There's no place to hold him at a safe distance. When it comes to Jesus, it's either faith or unbelief. You either fall on Christ by faith with your sin. You either fall on Christ with your brokenness and your lostness, taking up your cross and following him, or you'll end up crushed by the sheer weight of judgment coming down against your own self-righteousness. The Apostle Paul experienced that in his life. He'd been a trained Pharisee, one of those people against whom Jesus spoke that parable. He'd been a model student. He'd mastered the religion of righteousness under the law, and yet this is what St. Paul says when he met Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. St. Paul was crushed by the rock, and then he fell on it. St. Paul turned away from his own righteousness to seek and find righteousness in Christ. And so with St. Paul, let us press onward toward the same goal. Look straight ahead at the finish line and the prize, the resurrection from the dead and eternal life. And today, fall on Christ the rock with your sins. and he will forgive you. Fall on Christ the rock with your loss, and he will save you. Fall on Christ the rock with your sickness and death, and he will raise you to life. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Friends in Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living by which your name, precious name, is blasphemed and profaned. We give thanks to you for the acquittals in Finland of Bishop Johanna Pohjola and Dr. Päivi Räisänen, and for their bold and graceful witness to your word. Lord, in your mercy. May your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Grant your blessing especially to Benjamin Tyler Simino, Rick and Lisa Crawford's grandson, that kept in his baptismal grace, he may faithfully grow to lead a godly life and finally obtain the promised inheritance in heaven. Lord, in your mercy. Strengthen us by your Spirit, according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands we commend Anne Bennett, her niece Julie, Sherry Nord, giving thanks for the way she's responded to her cancer treatments, Anne Iadonisi, Fred, Michelle Studlian, Stan Thompson, Luann Trigo, Carol Wade, Sharon White, Joe Zaneski, Dan and Patty, Donna, Frank, Jack, John and Mary, Mark, Melanie, Paul, Rick and Teresa, Verity, and all who are in need, praying for them at all times, thy will be done. Lord, in your mercy. Grant us our daily bread, preserve us from greed and selfish cares, and help us trust in you to provide for all our needs. Bless all husbands and wives and all couples engaged to be married, especially Kate and Mike. Watch over and protect all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Stephanie Miller, Kristen Gregory, Kristen Hanlon, Melinda Bergeron, Allie Moore, Shayla Moore, and Alyssa Anderson. and be the refuge of all who have suffered miscarriage and infertility. Grant peace, we pray, to Ukraine and all lands where there is war and strife. Guide the Church to care for those in need. Protect the innocent and bring to repentance those who are responsible. Lord, in your mercy, forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy, lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy. And lastly, O Heavenly Father, grant your comfort to all who mourn, especially to the family and friends of George Cancellari, and to the Reynolds and Wando families, and to all who mourn the deaths of the four Marines in Norway. And deliver us from all evil of both body and soul, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy. We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and answer us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right as we do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Grant us your Spirit, gracious Father, that we may give heed to the testament of your Son in true faith, and above all, firmly take to heart the words with which Christ gives to us his body and blood for our forgiveness. By your grace, lead us to remember and give thanks for the boundless love which he manifested to us when, by pouring out his precious blood, he saved us from your righteous wrath and from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine that is his body and blood as a gift, guarantee, and pledge of his salvation. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, at his command, and with his own words, we receive his testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Son, and Holy Spirit. Bless and keep.
Psalm 43. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against the ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. For you are God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with lyre. And O God, my God, why do you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
To your church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word may not be restrained, but have the free rein it deserves, and be proclaimed for the salvation of souls, and for the joy and the strength of Christ's holy people, so that we serve you with steadfast faith and confess your name to the end, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.